Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. I think that's really what's at stake, and we better be clear about it if we are to have a chance of prevailing in it. I'm delighted to have with us, for our first segment in this edition of Secure Freedom Radio, a man who's given a lot of thought to, in fact, has been a practitioner of the war for the free world at the highest levels of the United States government. He is Peter Wehner. He is today a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, but served in both the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. Also was a deputy director of speech writing for President George W. Bush and moved on up the tape, as they say, to head the president's Office of Strategic Initiatives and was a deputy assistant to the president. He's written extensively since leaving office, including a book, City of Man, Religion and Politics in a New Era, and at Commentary and numerous other outlets. Delighted to have him with us, Pete. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on. Delighted to be with you.
You've been writing with some, shall we say, critical effect about what President Obama's up to at the moment with respect to, I guess most immediately, this sort of conflict with this Islamic State group, or ISIL, as he insists on calling it. And you've described this as sort of Barack's world, and it's seemingly disconnected from reality. Talk a little bit about your thinking on that and the evidence of that disconnect.
I think Barack's world is a place that the president retreats to when the world becomes too complicated and unaccommodating to him. A place where the wish is father to the thought, and he becomes disassociated from reality. So I think this is very, very troubling for a commander-in-chief to be in this world. I think the reason that this happens is because I think that President Obama is a person who is a deeply ideological and a very, very dogmatic person. So when the world doesn't conform to his worldview, I don't think he processes that very well. I don't think that he makes adjustments. I think that he just forges ahead, justifies what he's doing, and in some cases simply reinterprets reality and pretends that things are when they're not. And I think that there is a lot of evidence, really, of that, but yeah. In foreign policy.
Let me ask you about the nature of the ideology as you see it. How would you describe Barack Obama's ideological prism?
Yeah, on the foreign policy side, I would say that he is a traditional progressive, that he's somebody who's shaped by the academic milieu that he grew up in and that he spent time in, such as life in Columbia and Harvard. It's a view of the world that has several tenets. One, I don't think he's anti-American. But what I do think is that he believes America has, in many cases, been an irritant in the world and that the exercise of American power has been harmful. And I think that he went in willfully and consciously wanting to bring America down a notch, that the decline is a choice, to quote Charles Krauthammer, that he wanted to lead from behind, which is a phrase that his advisors used in a New Yorker interview. They thought decline was both inevitable and, in some respects, that it was good. That he wanted the rest of the world to step up, that he wanted an end to Pax Americana, and he believed that if America withdrew, it would have benign effects, that in the void that would be left, other nations, other allies would step up, and there would be a kind of community of nations that would unite. I think that's the ideology that informs him, and I think that he just doesn't understand the nature of the threat that we face.
Right? Yeah, I want to come back to that, but just for a moment, let me drill down a little bit on this ideology, because I think you're absolutely right, Pete Wehner, that he's been shaped by some of his past experiences, but I just wonder what you make of some of the other experiences or influencers that he had in his life, notably communists like Frank Marshall Davis and revolutionary terrorists like Bill Ayers and an Islamist advocate like Rashid Khalidi. And I don't know what to make of Jeremiah Wright, but do you not think that those guys imbued him with something that went beyond just sort of the traditional progressive? I honestly must tell you, based on his record, it seems to me he's been engaged in a wrecking operation in our country, domestically as well as in our foreign policy, that it doesn't do justice to describe it as kind of just traditional, if mindless, progressivism.
Yeah, I mean, I think progressivism is on the far end of liberalism. That is, I don't think he's a mainstream liberal in the sense of a Walter Mondale or somebody of that kind. I think he's probably more analogous to George McGovern. Look, I think these elements that he's come across in his life have been disturbing. I don't think they necessarily reflect exactly his views. I think that.
But did they shape him? Is really the question. Did they influence him?
Sure, I think they had influenced him. But I think there have been other influences too. I don't think he is Bill Ayers at heart and core. Who I think Bill Ayers is anti-American in very deep and real ways. The fact that Obama would have associations with him is disturbing, but I do think that there's a distinction between them.
Let's just leave it at that for the moment, because I do want to talk about the Islamists and the mischaracterization. I mean, it seems it can't any longer be ascribed to just a cluelessness. It seems to me what we're seeing, Pigwainer, is a very sympathetic president to the Islamist agenda, making excuses or downright misrepresenting the nature of the enemy we're up against. Talk a little bit about how you would characterize, for example, his insistence that the Islamic State has nothing to do with Islam and religion of peace and all of that.
Yeah, well, I think this is evidence of his detachment from reality. I think that he doesn't want to accept that. I just think that it's too jarring. It causes a cognitive dissonance because the world that he grew up in from his approach to things, he just isn't willing to accept that there are elements within the Islamic State that are deeply radical and militant and want to impose Sharia law, and that that's a violation and a threat to Western civilization and to the tenets and principles of it. Now, I think he probably can make an argument, a utilitarian argument, which is we don't want to turn this into a religious war, and we want to try and buttress and support some of the more moderate elements within the Islamic world. Certainly not everybody who's of the Muslim faith subscribes to this most malicious and malignant and malevolent form of it. But the reality is that an awful lot of them do. And this is a real problem that is within the Islamic world, the fact that he won't ascribe this to Islam, even though the Islamic State is the Islamic State. They themselves call themselves, refer to themselves as Islamic, is a problem. So I think that he's not willing to accept reality, and I think that is a huge problem, because you've got to be able to identify the problem before you deal with it and address it and defeat it.
Peter Wainer is our guest. He is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center these days and served in senior ranks of the George W. Bush administration. Pete, just in closing, on that point, one of the things that it does seem to me we're confronting is the president now ratchets up military operations against this Islamic State, or ISIL, as he insists on calling it, both in Iraq and in Syria, is the distinct possibility that we will find ourselves engaging with an enemy we're not clear about in a manner that is wholly inadequate to dealing with specifically the ideological underpinnings and animating force of the threat. Could you talk just very quickly, a minute or so, about that?
Yeah, that really worries me. I mean, I think that he's going into this war in a half-assed fashion, if I may say so. I think that there's an element of him of checking the box. He felt like he had to do something in the wake of the beheadings. But that he wants to be de minimis. He always wants to be de minimis in his exercise of military force. And sometimes that's the worst of all possible worlds. That is, it escalates a war. It gets the United States involved in a war, but he's not committed to winning it. And I think that that can turn out to be catastrophic. I think that the Islamists wanted America to get involved in this war because I think that they believe that they can outlast us and in some senses defeat us. And if they do that, that is going to be a tremendous accelerant for their movement. So I'm quite worried that the president has got us in this box.
That's really the crux of the matter, it seems to me, that we will be incentivizing them to redouble their efforts to wage this jihad against us globally. Peter Winter, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid, for the moment, but I do hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Thank you for your thoughts on all of these issues, as well as your service to our country and the work you're doing currently at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Keep it up. We'll talk with you soon. Next up, we're visiting with John Herbst about Ukraine, former ambassador there. What's going on now? Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.